Welcome with Afghan Voice. My name is Ariadne and our special guest is famous Afghan Hollywood actress Sitara Ataye. And I was very honoured. She was also the proofreader and the editor of the Dutch translation of Edward Selam's Zarbul Basalha. Welcome, Sitara.
Thank you very much, Ariadne. It's a pleasure to be here speaking with you over Skype.
Sitara, you are not only an actress, but also a choreographer, a model and a linguist. Am I correct?
You are absolutely right. I am. All those things add a little more sometimes.
When did you become passionate about dancing and acting?
Okay, so that is something I truly believe I was born with it, but it also helped me a lot that I was brought up in a family where art in general was appreciated. My parents, my dad in particular, along with his brothers, they used to have an electronics store. And on the side, they would also bring Bollywood and Hollywood movies and rent it out. Well, in Afghanistan, back then, it was a huge luxury. I mean, it was not common for people to be able to afford watching movies. Even the video players that were used back then, they used to rent that out as well because people didn't have it. It wasn't like a normal thing like a television or a radio to have at home. I grew up in that environment. I got a lot of support from my parents and motivation as I was increasingly becoming interested in acting, dancing, choreographing. We were one of the first who would send out people to video events. You know, there was always a lot of videos and movies and songs and things going on in the house. So that helped me pick things up. It definitely started in Kabul in Afghanistan.
And then you continued in India.
Yes. India was for me an amazing experience because since I grew up watching all these Bollywood movies, going to India, moving to India for me was an exciting event. Once we got to India and I was admitted to school there, part of the curriculum was to have dance classes. It was mandatory for girls to follow classical dance classes. And I just excelled at that because it was part of my passion already. I loved it. And my teacher was appreciative of my work. So I was always one of the first ones in line and always the front row show person. So all that definitely motivated me. And because India is so full of culture, they have a lot of celebrations, a lot of festivals. And each festival was celebrated out in the open for public, you know. And I would always go and participate, see what all I can do. And whenever there was a talent show, I would subscribe to it.
But what I found also really interesting is that in India, you learned Kathak. Can you explain a little bit what Kathak is and why do you like it so much?
So I didn't even know that till much later in life. That's when I learned that, oh, what I was learning was Kathak. But at school, there was a classical dance teacher. She would always come and teach us. Basically, what they were doing was teaching us the storytelling element. To have that as my base, that helped me say any story that I want in any song, in any particular circumstance, through my own movements. It's a beautiful dance form. It's very ancient. And it's actually also used a lot in Bollywood movies, like the typical courtesan movies has a lot of Kathak in it. They're the typical classical songs. They always incorporate Kathak.
And that makes me also think, like, what about Atom?
Yes. Now, since I have been doing a lot of dancing in my life, once I started teaching dance, I noticed that Atom is something I want to work on as well. Because as a kid, I've always admired Atom. I've loved it because it's such a beautiful form of bringing people together and making them one in a dance setting. And there is a lot more to it. There is the whole background of Atan, which was back in the days before the warriors went to war, they would do Atan with their swords to become one spirit. So also to fight in that same spirit, to conquer in that same spirit. And I would like to, inshallah, one day be able to introduce it to the world, because right now no one knows of Atan. The minute people hear of Afghanistan, Kabul, the first thing they come up with is violence. So hopefully I can change that, shift it a little bit by introducing more of our culture, and then also our music, our dance, our food, our clothing. There are a lot of beautiful things about Afghanistan and Afghan people that I would like to introduce or make more available to the rest of the world.
Yeah, and I must say, I've filmed Atan a couple of times and it is very, very impressive. It starts quite slowly and then it goes faster and faster. And then you wonder, oh, they got it really together because they don't get dizzy.
It's so interesting because any kind of like circular movement will eventually make you dizzy. But the way Atan is done, After each circle, you come to almost a full stop, which gives you the balance back, and then you build it up, and then you go with the speed, which goes faster and faster. I hope I can, one at a certain point, make a show a view of Atan being performed from the top, which gives that circling effect of becoming one.
From Afghanistan, you went to India, from India to Nepal and Thailand, and then to the Netherlands to end up in Hollywood. This is quite a journey. This different continents, different cultures, different languages, but also different migration processes and bureaucracy. Like here in the UK, it doesn't matter where you come from, it's a gamble, gamble with people's lives. And I know that a lot of Africans are suffering. How did you overcome these tough times? Because you must have tough times with that.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. It all came with a price. I do have to say, before I start giving you more information on that, I feel very blessed. God has been very, very amazing to me, my family, in general to me as an Afghan girl. Every time I see these horror stories of Afghan girls, I think to myself that it could simply have been me. So every time I see that, it makes me even more appreciative and grateful for the life that I have now, despite having gone through some very troubling times. Here is the ironic part. We were never meant to go to Holland. We were meant to go to London. That's so ironic to me that right now I'm being interviewed by you from London about my life story. But after we left India, we basically were smuggled out of India. All of our family pretty much spread across the world from India to go to Europe or America or Canada or Australia for better lives, especially for their children, for better futures. So for that same reason, my parents decided, okay, we have to move on. And that's why we moved from India. And we were supposed to go to Thailand, according to the smugglers, stay there for a week, and then we would be going to London from there. A few family members had gone before us, and they had confirmed that everything went well and these people are to be trusted. But for whatever reason, our luck, unfortunately, was not on our side. So once we were in Thailand, the smugglers, the whole situation escalated to the point that we had to stay in Thailand for 6 months, out of which the first 2 months approximately was still fun. We were still positive. Things still looked good. But the other four were terrible. And if you've ever heard stories about Bangkok and the streets and all the misery that comes with it, from prostitution to sex tourism to the filth, it's terrible. And especially as kids, to go through that, it was not fun. But with God's help, we got out of Thailand. In between, we went to a week to Nepal for a week, to Kathmandu, came back to Thailand, and finally we got the okay to go, not to London. That was not an option anymore, so we had to go to Germany. And we had some family in Germany. There in Germany, we were told that the laws in Germany was not too good in obtaining a citizenship, so it was better to move to Holland. And once again, we went through a smuggler who smuggled us from Germany to Holland. It was terrible. And that smuggler really did not have to get paid, because after that, we've been to Germany so many times. It's just a drive.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, we were robbed many times. But eventually, I believe it was God's plan for us to arrive in Holland and nowhere else. And now looking back at it, I'm very, very happy that it was Holland where I grew up, because I would have been a completely different person were it not for me being raised in Holland, Veendam to be exact, Groningen, northern part of Holland. So that's how we got to Holland. Yeah, and then the whole process of integration in Holland was not easy. Learning the language, we never thought of any other languages. We were thinking we were going to London, we all spoke English already. But the language, the culture difference, there was this long period where I certainly was the outsider, but you know how I overcame that? It's
yeah.
So funny. I overcame my being the outsider and gaining my classmates' respect and appreciation by participating again in talent shows and doing lip-sync like songs such as No Doubts, Don't Speak, and Burley Cravens, Promise Me, things like that, that won me the first prize. So there was that integration process. It was difficult, but the one thing I was always good at was being courageous enough to take the stage and do things on stage, and also study hard. I was always someone who knew that it's really important to educate, educate, educate. And once I went to high school, which was, I started from the lowest FAMEBAYO, but after the first year, my scores were so good that I talked to my coordinator and he said, if you continue this way, you can jump up to HAFL anytime you want, which was the higher level. So I went from MAFL to HAFL. I finished 5 years of HAFL. And then after that, I went to HABEO, which was a bachelor's degree, basically. Yeah. I got my certificate in teacher training, which helped me get into the University of Groningen.
And in University of Groningen, you started to study fine arts. Is that the basis for your career now?
It sort of is. So I studied a bachelor's in fine arts, in particular English language and literature. I also studied journalism for a year, and I wrote for several media in Holland. One thing I realized was, the first thing is, I don't want to continue writing just in Dutch because it's going to limit me. And the second thing was, becoming a journalist in Holland for me meant that everything was pushing me back to Afghanistan, and that became too emotional for me. I was too emotionally involved, and I didn't want to do that. It was just, it would hinder me every step of the way. So I took a step back and thought about it, and I knew that I was going to go for English. Whatever it was that I was going to do, I would do it in English, and that led me to a language, English language and literature, which helps me today because after reading all those books in the 4 years that I studied at University of Groningen, helps me analyze scripts that I get nowadays better. We also had parts of our curriculum was about theater. Helped me a lot too. So yeah, to answer your question, it absolutely helped me.
I've got one more question left about the Afghan diaspora. What is the biggest challenge for you to be part of that diaspora?
Well, I would say as any diaspora, it's always difficult to have given up as much as we have. I mean, you give up literally everything in your life and you start from scratch. And unfortunately, I've had to do it three times in my lifetime. And it's so funny. I thought that this last time would be the easiest, but you know, it was not. And with the last time I'm referring to my move from Holland to America, I thought it would be easier because I've gone through it and, you know, I know the whole process. I even did an essay about Indian diaspora in America. So I thought I'd know all the details about it, so it should be easy for me. But unfortunately, it was not. It's always difficult. People are different. Mentalities are different. The consciousness of a country, of a race, of people in different parts of the world, their consciousness is different. The climate is different. How people clad themselves, that is different. A lot of things are different. And I thought it would be easier to adjust to that, but it never is, because you have to go through the process. There's no way of skipping it or jumping over it. And the whole process of integration in any other society than the one you've been in, it always is challenging. It comes with a lot of challenges, but in the end, it makes you a better person because you do come out of it stronger, which is the positive side of having to live in different countries. You get to experience different places, different people, different cuisines. You get to see a lot more of our beautiful world, which I wouldn't have been able to if I had lived all my life in Afghanistan. But now I've traveled to over 20 different countries, which is really awesome. So,
but how did you end up in Hollywood, of all places? I think there's only one Dutch actor there.
You know, there are so many Dutch people here in Hollywood. You'd be amazed at that. And some big names. I mean, the maker of, what were these movies? The X-Men movies. The girl from X-Men, she's Dutch. There's so many Dutch actors, producers, directors. The Dutch people are so smart. They're all over the world, and they've excelled at whatever it is that they do, whether if it's Heineken Amstel or Jan de Bont.
Yeah.
He is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, there are tons of top-notch American directors, actors, cast, crew people who would love to work with him.
How did you end up in Hollywood?
So what happened was, basically, my grandparents, God bless my grandmother's soul, she is not no more, but my grandfather's still here. They've always lived, after they moved from Afghanistan, they lived in Laguna Niguel, which is in Orange County, California. Mm-hmm. And we used to always come and visit them in our summer vacations. So I had been to America the first time when I was 17 years old. I fell in love with this country, and I knew that one day I'm going to live here. And once I was here, the logical next step for me was to start my approaching Hollywood.
It's a big challenge because it's like very rare that people get into Hollywood. But you start auditioning. You made a profile and all that stuff, get photo shoots done. And
yes, but it's not as simple as that, really. So how it works here in a lot of areas in America, based on my knowledge and my experiences, connections help a lot. I have an amazing friend of mine, Fahim Fazli. He is an established actor in Hollywood, and he has been an angel in disguise for me. He helped me learn a lot about the hows and the whos of Hollywood. He introduced me to the right people. And on the side, my cousin, whose friend has an agency of his own, I was introduced to that agent by them. And then from there, I also have been, since I came here, I've been following different workshops and acting courses. The main one was the acting course at the Lee Strasberg, which was incredible, life-changing experience for me. So acting classes, because you have to consistently keep the craft going, because you can audition, sometimes you have work, sometimes you don't, but you have to continuously build on it. Even the best of best, like De Niro, Al Pacino, they still take acting classes. They continuously work on their art, you know? So that's one thing I believe in as well. But then comes the whole process of making your profile, like taking headshots, putting your resume together, and then comes the auditioning part. And that whole process of auditioning, you can go to about 30 auditions. Sometimes you book some things, whether if it's a commercial, music video, or a role in a TV show, movie, or in my case, which I've been very blessed with, a lot of voiceovers. So because of the languages I speak, I get a lot of opportunities to do voiceovers. And then on top of it, the regular auditions.
You have to be really focused. And it is what you say, is like, it's the same with acting. It's the same as with dancing, I think. I mean, that's my opinion. You have to keep practicing and you have to be on top of it, because you will, drift away a bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as you said, with dance, you know, I never thought I would, but there was a period here where I started working for an insurance company. Boring, typical corporate life. Full-time job, and I pretty much stopped dancing. I was like, no, that what am I going to do with dance? You know, forget it. And I never thought it would drift away or I would forget things. But when I went back into it, I was like, oh my God, it is different, drifting away. I have to keep my practice going. So that's when I started again. And then with acting, that's, as you said, it's very true. The exact same thing. But yeah, the whole process of audition, you know, someone had a beautiful quote about actors deal with more rejections in a week than a regular person would in a lifetime.
Which is very true.
But what drives you to still do it and give your 100% is the passion. And my passion is not only because of, I want the fame, I want to become a famous actor, I want to be on screen. No, I believe that the medium of television, movies, TV shows, it is a very strong way of bringing certain messages across. It has had incredible influence in my life. It has given me amazing knowledge. I've learned a lot from movies. And I think one of the reasons why I want to do this is because when you are established as an actor, you just get a bigger voice, and your voice is broadcasted in a global level. And therefore, you can bring your message across more globally as well. And people tend to actually listen.
That's also very true. And also, things changed the last 10 years. The whole medium has changed so much. Well, for me, I need to learn a lot more. But also, as an actor, you need to adjust to that as well. And use it in your favor, really.
Favor.
Yes.
Since internet came into our lives, everything has changed. But as you said, we can certainly use it to our benefit by using Facebook, Twitter. It's a great way of almost freely promoting your craft and letting people out there know that you're there, so that when they're looking for someone like you, they can approach you easily. Mm-hmm. As opposed to previously, I mean, oh my God, the whole PR group had to do so many things to get you an interview in a magazine, of which people would finally read it and then slowly come to you. That whole process, thank God, does not exist anymore. It's made much easier.
And do you, as an as a woman, not just as an Afghan woman, but as a woman, what do you experience in Hollywood? Are women still in the minority in Hollywood?
Unfortunately, yes. And it just hurts. But here is, in my case, it's 10 times worse. A lot of Hollywood actresses, they're fighting for that right now. They're doing whatever in their power that they can do to make a difference in that. A few great directors and producers are taking those initiatives to make female-centered movies, which is pretty much sometimes the only way that an actress can have a lead role in important movies. But on the other side, for me personally, it's a big challenge. I am minority, and I'm a woman. And then on top of it, as an Afghan woman, even in those projects, and right now there are quite a lot of projects out there being made about Afghanistan, but the problem is Taliban, they still have an influence in my life, because in a lot of those movies, the women have no roles, because there are no women in these situations. Because a lot of times I get casted, obviously, as Middle Eastern, which is, I'm perfectly fine with the whole stereotypical idea. I get casted as Afghan, Persian, Arab, Indian, Pakistani. But the problem with that is those are minor roles, because the role of women, according to the Western view, is very limited. And therefore, the movies that are being made, the same thing goes on. Unless it's an artistic movie. For example, Barmak Akram's Vajma, which is an Afghan movie about an Afghan woman. There is The Patient Stone. What an amazing movie. But even there, I heard from family much later, after it was already produced, that they were looking for an Afghan actress. But because they couldn't find it, they went for a Persian actress. So, you know, it's all kind of happening. But that big blow for us Afghan actors is yet to come, because it's very limited still, unfortunately.
But do you think that big blow is gonna happen?
It is happening right now for a lot of male Afghan actors in Hollywood. But you know, it's a very funny industry. The first time I got casted for a TV show as a co-star, I was casted as an Arab who was speaking Arabian. And I'm not an Arab.
No.
And now I also see a lot of Mexican ladies being casted as Afghans, speaking Afghan languages, such as Dari and Pashto, while they don't know it. So it's really funny how it kind of crisscrosses. You know, it's not like, okay, we'll only cast Afghans for Afghan roles, or we're only casting Persians for Persian roles. There's a lot of switching here and there. And it all comes down to that audition process, whether you are the face that the director is looking for, whether if you're cut for the role or not. So it can honestly go either way. It can either blossom immensely, massively, but then again, we know the troops are retreating now from Afghanistan, so it can also go the other direction, that the whole hype dies down. For me personally, I still will have hope, because there's always there are always opportunities. There always will be opportunities. I just hope that for us as Afghans, it really is time to build our own entertainment industry. It is time for directors, producers, actors, and any artistic people to really start working in their field and making movies, making projects, working on things. And I do see that shift happening. I mean, Sidiq Barmak won an Oscar with his movie Osama, which was an incredibly awesome movie. I do see us like slowly coming out, getting out there. Afghan women, same thing. I do see the shift happening slowly, very gradually, but it is. So I as one do have hope.
I'm also quite hopeful, because what I see is there's a lot of storytelling in the culture. Mm-hmm. So to translate that to images, to translate the story visually, that will be just amazing.
It really will. I think we have, that is one of our treasures. And you know, the one thing I'm noticing more and more, Afghan people are very talented. We are really talented people once, as long as we, I don't want to put it this way, because a lot of people debate it. They say, no, opportunities are gained. You go for it. You get it yourself. It's not given to you. However, in our case, because we've been quite unfortunate in a lot of areas, I think now that we are getting a few more possibilities, I think Afghans, we can make a difference in this world for the better, in a positive way. We certainly have it in us. We're talented, we're gifted people, we're smart people, very intelligent people. So now that we are being given more opportunities, I think as long as we seize it, we're gonna make some differences.
What can Afghans, like outside Afghanistan, contribute to this development?
I think a few things we can do is, of course, I know a lot of my own family. I know friends and people who help in a monetarily manner. They help people in Afghanistan, they help households and things like that. But for the long term, to make it not as temporary, I think one of the things we can, in whatever way we can, we should support education for everybody in Afghanistan. I think that is certainly the key. And the second thing is, I also believe that Afghan women, we are 50% of the population, right? And that 50% is not part of the workforce. And once we start changing that, once Afghan women get the opportunity to work in Afghanistan, that by itself is going to increase 50% of the chances of the country being built faster, of progress happening. And then what we can do to contribute on a global scale, contribute in making more peace, bring more peace to this world, is being the example of how war does not solve anything. War, fighting, is not the solution. And if people doubt that, then look at people in Afghanistan, look at Afghanistan, look what's happening there. If war was the solution, then Afghanistan would not be what it is today. Afghan people would not be as shattered as they are today. I think that by itself, we are the example of why peace should be the answer, not war.
Do you have plans to go back to Afghanistan? Or do you visit every so often?
No, I have not been back. And it's funny, I think even my career right now is kind of pushing me in that direction. I once withheld myself from doing it when I, as a journalist, was proposed to go to Afghanistan. But now I am more willing to. See, if I were to go back as someone who has power in whatever way, whether if it's power in making financial differences or power in making political differences or any big difference, then I would definitely want to go right now. But because my hands are still tight, I don't think I can do a lot right now. I think all that I will do is to see my country shattered like that, to see women begging for food for their children, to see the streets that I once was playing at being torn apart, to see our house being made one with the ground, I think it will devastate me. I really do. So I'm quite afraid of going back at this point in life. However, will I ever go back? Yes. Am I gonna take opportunities if they come my way to go back? Yes, definitely. Is it gonna be easy? Hell's no.
But that is what I notice every Afghan I meet, whatever their opinion is, whatever their lifestyle is, Afghanistan is in your heart.
I love Holland. I love India. I love America. But I wouldn't be able to love these countries, the cultures, the people, the everything that comes with it, if I did not love my own country. If you don't have self-love, you can never experience any kind of other love. It all comes from self-love. And in this case, my self-love in this context would be my love for Afghanistan. It's always there. It's always going to be there. It's just all I can do at this point in life is pray and hope for a better future. I really hope my story will inspire Afghan women to know that you're no different than anyone else who's made it in life. And life will throw at you challenges like the ones that you haven't even imagined. It's always going to be there. It's always going to be challenging and difficult. However, you can always make it. You will always get to a better tomorrow. There's always sunshine after the rain.
And is there anything else you want to share with our listeners?
At this point, all I would say is I believe, and I hope one day we will all learn to believe, that we're all one. If we hurt someone, we're hurting ourselves in return. If you do good for someone, that means you're doing good for yourself. The minute we learn this, the minute we truly believe that we're all one, we're no different from each other, we're all human beings, we all need each other's kindness, care, and the minute we get that, I think our world is going to be a better place.
Well, thank you very much for this very inspiring interview.
Thank you for having me do this interview. I surely hope that it will inspire others to do the same. And I wish you all the very best with everything you do, Ariadna. Thank you so much.